All right, we continue our study with the life of David. If you're not already there, Psalm 142. And we left off last week with David fleeing to the cave of Adullam, and he is there, and he has a cohort with him, not just a few folks, but several hundred that have followed him there to the cave. And we'll give you some dimensions here of that cave here in just a minute. But tonight's message, how to move from cave to praise. And so I think tonight this will be an encouragement to you, as the Word of God is always an encouragement, but especially tonight, just with all that's taking place in all of our lives and in our world today, I think that tonight this is exactly what we need for this moment. You know, the challenge in the Christian life is not learning how to avoid problems. You know, when somebody gets saved, they think that all their problems go away because they're a Christian now. Well, the absolute truth is that the opposite is true. That when you become a Christian, now the devil fights you more than he did before, because before you were not his enemy. And so the Christian life is not learning how to avoid problems, because trouble will find us in spite of our efforts to avoid it. It will always find us. And so the challenge that all of us face is really learning how to face those things and to move through those problems, trying to stay focused on God. That's the struggle. That's the Christian life in a nutshell, isn't it? That all of these things that come into my life, I have to make sure I keep my focus on God, because if I don't, then we're going to see tonight, we will get overwhelmed like David did. And so tonight, hopefully it's an encouragement to you, as I said before. And as David started with problems, and by the way, that's why he is hiding in a cave. But tonight, something that's encouraging to us is that he prayed his way through to praise. He was in the cave, but then as he prayed, he saw who God was. The cave of Adullam was huge. I mean, if you have 400, and later on in 1 Samuel chapter 23, it actually says that David went from having 400 followers to the cave to actually 600. This cave was 20 feet wide by 40 feet tall. Okay, those were around about the estimates back then. And so it was certainly large enough to hold David and his followers. And so David found himself the leader, whether he wanted to or not, he found himself the leader of a group of distressed, indebted, discontented men who made him their leader. Boy, wow, what a great deal this was. So he's there in the cave. He has all of these men around him. He's obviously sent his family to be safe somewhere else. At any rate, David wrote that his spirit was overwhelmed within him. Have you ever had a moment or moments like that where it felt like, I'm just so overwhelmed with everything that's going on? I feel like this is coming at me, and this is coming at me, and this is coming at me, and I just feel like I'm overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed in our scriptures, and we'll give you that passage. Actually, it's right there in verse number 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed means muffled. In the original language, David felt like a flood had overwhelmed him, that his spiritual sensitivities were muffled by the affliction that he was in. Do you ever get like that? You try to be super spiritual, you try to be all that you can be for the Lord, but when everything in the world comes at you, whether it's work or family, or circumstances in general, maybe it's health, it all comes at you and it feels like that spiritual side of yourself gets a little muffled, gets a little bit clunky. That's exactly what the word overwhelmed means. David was overwhelmed. He was muffled. And so the best way I could explain it to you maybe tonight is this. It's literally like he was walking in a pool full of molasses. That's the best way I can explain it to you. The word overwhelmed. David felt like everything was moving in slow motion. God, can't you speed this up? God, can't you fix this problem? God, can't you hurry it up a little bit? I feel I'm overwhelmed. I can't take this any longer. And so he became desensitized. He became disoriented. And can I ask you a question tonight? Can all of us become like that? Absolutely. We can become disoriented. We can become desensitized. And so David had lost his friends. The king was his enemy, who used to be his friend. Saul and David were friends. So he loses his relationship with his king. He had lied and acted deceitfully. He was indirectly responsible for the slaughter of an entire village and the death of all the priests. His family was in danger, and now he had become the leader of a bunch of riffraff. I mean, it's hitting him in all different aspects. So would you like David's life at this point? I don't know that I would. But it makes sense of why David's saying, man, I'm just so overwhelmed. I am overtaken by all of this. You know, we tend to think that our problems are unique, that nobody else has the same problems that we do. You ever feel like that? Like nobody understands. Nobody truly gets. Nobody else has experienced what I'm going through. And so what happens is we what? We withdraw from people because they just don't understand. And so we withdraw from them. Well, who can we talk to? Who could possibly understand? Well, it's important to understand something, that our problems are not unique. It's just the details that are a little bit different. Problems are the same for everybody. Isn't that what Solomon said? There is nothing new on this earth. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new is happening. It's just certain details are different. So the things that we go through, the problems, they're not unique. It's just the details of those problems tend to be a little bit different. But all of us go through the same feelings of loneliness, confusion, in despair, just like David did. You stop and think about this. David was in a cave. He was around 400 to 600 men, and David felt all alone. Yet he was surrounded by all these people. But they didn't know what David was going through. They didn't know. They don't understand. And so he felt like he was all alone. But see, it's important to understand something. And that is what David did in that moment. What did he do? He called on the Lord. He got to a point where he was overwhelmed, he was discontented, he was desensitized, he was lonely, he was confused, he had all this despair. And he came to his senses, his spiritual senses, if you will. And in that cave, amid all of those people, he just cried out to God. Tonight, that's what we're going to look at. In Psalm 142, look at verse number 1. David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and in the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. Do you hear David crying out, calling on God's name? I cried unto the Lord. We sing that song, right? Maybe we'll do it before the end of the service, that I will call upon the Lord. That's exactly what David did. And so tonight, number one, David verbalized his situation before God. He talked to God. You see, through this short Psalm 142, we see David telling God how he feels. When's the last time you told God how you feel? Do you ever do that? You know, while God already knows your plight, what you're going through, God already knows it. And sometimes we can think, well, God already knows, I don't need to be talking to him about it, because he already knows. No, wait, hold on a minute. The heart of communion is communication. You got to communicate. We tell our best friend how we feel, but we refuse to tell God. Why is that? That we can tell our best friend how we feel, but we can't talk to God about it. Listen, David was alone. He was there in the cave and he had all these men around him and he felt all alone. But then he called on the Lord and he told the Lord, "Lord, this is how I feel. This is what I'm going through." And in that moment, speaking to God, he starts to see God for who he is. Perhaps we sometimes feel this same way. God cannot hear us. God doesn't care or won't respond. Maybe we feel like that sometimes about our certain situations or the things that we're going through. Well, hold on just a minute. If you think that and you believe that, hold on just a minute. The person in all of the one person in all the universe with the resources to meet our needs is the very person to whom we ought to be telling our needs to. It's crazy. We'll tell everybody about all of our problems, but we never go to God with them. Why? Why is that? Well, guess what? Tonight, maybe you are in a cave of despair right now. And you must take the time to cry out to the Lord as David did. For he is the one person in all of the universe that has all of the resources needed to meet your needs. And he alone. I'm thankful for our church family, and I'm thankful for those that are believers that are in our lives and in our families, but they can't meet your needs like God can meet your needs. They can't. So why don't we cry out to him? Verbalize your situation to God. That's what David did. And we see that here in verse number 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I told him what I was feeling. I told him all about it. But then number 2 tonight, not only did David verbalize his situation to God, but David visualized the situation before God. Look at verse 2 with me. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. He visualized that before God. David is giving out in detail what his plight is, what his struggle is. You see, the truth of the matter is tonight, many of us rush into our supplications. God, I need this, and God, I need that, and God, please, you got to help me with this, and you got to help me with that. And we just jump right into our supplications, and we start asking and asking and asking according to God's will, according to God's will. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you're missing one important point and fact. Before you start asking, before you start begging, before you start bringing these things to the Lord, you need to do something first. You need to realize that in the backdrop of all of your supplications is the goodness of Almighty God, is God Himself, the person of God in that background, and see who He is and what He does for us. And then we praise Him for that. You see, the way we visualize the greatness of God is praising Him in prayer. When we put praise first, we enlarge God in our hearts. So that when I pray differently. I don't just come to Him with my supplications and that's it. We see Him for who He is, which puts our problems in a proper perspective because I've praised God for who He is. Maybe you're not grasping this tonight. The best way to explain it to you is like a photo booth. You see, we're getting ready to have our kindergarten graduation, and my wife and I are doing a little photo booth for the kindergartners. It would make no absolute sense to put up a backdrop for a photo booth that has tropical trees and a beach house in the background, and they're standing there with their graduation clothes on. What? Doesn't go, doesn't fit. You see, when the backdrop is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and I see God for who He is and what He does, then when I ask for things, when I am asking those supplications, it will help me to see that it fits with who God is. It's proper. It goes together. Just like a backdrop goes with what you're taking a picture of. A lot of times churches will have a backdrop, and it'll have, and hopefully one of these times we'll work on one and get one. They'll take like their logo and it'll be all over the banner, and you can stand in front of it and get your picture taken for certain special days. That's appropriate. The background is appropriate for what you're doing. So as we come to the Lord and we start asking for things, take a time out and let's pray and praise God. God, thank you for being almighty. God, thank you for being all powerful. God, thank you for being loving. Thank you for being patient. And as you start praising God, it will open up your heart in a different way, so that when you start praying for others in the intercessory prayer, as you're praying for the Sullivan family, as their son fights for his life, when you see who God is and you praise Him for who He is, when you pray for this little boy, I guarantee you'll pray differently. But if you just jump right in and just start praying for this little boy, and that's where you just jump in and you don't praise God, I promise you, it's just different. Your prayer isn't seen or comes from your heart. You don't see God for who He is and what He does. You believe it, but you need to verbalize it. It will change your prayer life if you will praise Him for who He is and what He does and His person and all that those things are. And then you start intercessory prayer. Then you start the supplications. And I promise you, in your prayer lives, it'll be much different. It'll be much more powerful. Because it's given in the backdrop of seeing who God is in your own life. Well, that's what David saw. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. And so David is visualizing the situation before God. Praising Him in prayer will help you as you come to Him, as you ask for supplications in prayer. Number three tonight, David recognized something about God. So these all build. So he recognized something about God. In praising God and asking supplications, he realized something amid his struggle. He figured something out. Look at verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed, remember the word overwhelmed means muffled. When I felt like I was just being flooded over with all kinds of stuff coming into my life, overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Aha. Did you catch that? In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. What did David recognize? He recognized something about God as he was praying and crying out to God. What was it he recognized? He recognized God's omniscience and God's omnipotence. He got it right then. He knew it before, right? But because of the overwhelmingness of all that was going on, he wasn't in that spiritual frame of mind to see that God was with him the whole way. But as he cried out to the Lord, as he verbalized, as he talked to the Lord, he realized in that moment, God, you protected me this whole way. You knew my path this whole time. Oh, duh. Don't you guys do that? I do that sometimes. Like, oh, yeah, I see it now. Okay, I get it that you have provided the whole way through this. And so in pouring his heart out to God, he realizes that God has been watching over him the whole time. God had protected him. See, that is tonight, folks, why we need to talk to God. That's why we have to pray. That's why we praise Him and we bring our supplications and we pray for others as we intercede for them, because we gain a new insight and understanding with regards to the Lord. I hope you caught that tonight, because David caught it right there in the cave. Job said this in Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, Job got it, right? Job realized it. And so all of us tonight, we need to recognize something about God in whatever overwhelmingness that we're going through right now. Where do you see God in all of it? Because you can allow the overwhelmingness to take out that which God is doing, because you're so focused on being overwhelmed that you miss the blessings of God through it. How do you get to that point? David showed you. You got to cry out to the Lord. You got to praise Him for who He is. See Him for who He is in the light of your situation. And then come to Him with your supplications. And as you do so, as you bring those to the Lord, you'll recognize something about God. I promise you, you will. I don't know what that is that you're supposed to learn from, but God knows. But I promise you, if you'll just cry out to Him, if you'll call upon the Lord, He will reveal that to you. He will show that to you. And so David recognized something about God, that God was everywhere and God was all powerful. Man, you knew this whole time. Even as I sinned, you still loved me. You still showed me grace and mercy, even all the way to this cave. And I'm amid all of these 400 to 600 that I don't even want to be a leader over, but because of my sin, I see that, okay, they're here. And I can't do anything about it now. I can only repent. I can only get right with you. But God, please help me. I'm overwhelmed. Oh, wait, you were with me this whole time. God, thank you. This is so amazing. So only because he cried out to the Lord there in the cave. Well, number four tonight, David fourthly realized the provision he has in God, that God was providing. Look here as we continue on. As David continues in his prayer and supplication to God, he begins to realize that God is the one who can deliver him from the confusion that he feels. Look at verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art what? My refuge and my portion in the land of the living. David realized that God was his refuge and God was his portion. All of this has come about because of what? Prayer. David crying out to the Lord. You see, David thought a cave was going to be his place of refuge, right? Humanly speaking, if I go to the cave, they can't find me. What in the world? 400 to 600 people follow me. They're all going to know where I'm at now. And by the way, they did know where David was. He thought he was going there for a refuge, and then he realized as he cried out to the Lord, God, you are in all places, you are all powerful, and you were with me the whole way. And then in verse 5, he says, you know what? I came to the cave thinking this was my refuge, but God, you're my refuge. It's not this cave. This cave can do nothing for me. You are my refuge, God. You are my portion in the land of the living. Do you see the progression that David is making from being overwhelmed to starting to praise God? Seeing God for who He is in the light of his problems and struggles. Well, finally tonight, number 5, David arrived at the place of victory. David arrived at the place of victory. Look with me at verse number 7. Bring my soul out of prison that I may, what? Praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And so as we get to verse number 7, David also arrives at a place of victory here. He is no longer painting a verbal picture of the emotional and spiritual prison that he's in. He's no longer talking about that. Instead, here he asks God for what he needs. He says what? Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. So he got to a place where he knew God was omnipotent. God was omnipresent. God was with him every aspect. God was his refuge, his portion. And he says, God, only you can bring my soul up out of this prison, out of this overwhelmingness, this muffling. Only you can do that, God. And guess what? Could you do that so that I may just praise your name? Man, what an amazing transformation from verse 1 to verse 7 as he cries out to the Lord. Now, you can look at other psalms. There is about 7 or 8 of them where David is crying out for help as he's there in the cave. Another one is Psalm 57. And we're not going to necessarily look at all of that tonight, but Psalm 57 is a good comparison, a good companion, I guess is a better word, a companion chapter for Psalm 142. And so David has gone from problems to now praising. In Psalm 57, you will see the same process out of David. He says in Psalm 57, my soul is among lions whose teeth are spears and arrows. To then he says, but my heart is steadfast. Transformation in there. Here they are, they're coming after me, but hey, now my heart is steadfast. I'm steady now, I'm stable now. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. He then ends in that chapter in verse number 6, and he says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You see, tonight as we conclude, your prison of problems becomes a palace of praise as you see God for who He is amidst what it is that you're going through. So the question tonight is, before we go into our prayer request time, is what cave or what are you hiding from? What is it that's overwhelming you that you realize tonight that in the backdrop of me giving my supplications, I first need to praise God for who He is, because then that opens up my prayer life that when I'm asking for things and when I'm interceding for everybody, man, this is different. This is a little bit different because I'm praying in the light of who God is instead of just jumping right in and praying for somebody or praying for a situation. That I have the backdrop of God and His divinity and His person. And as I praise Him for what He does for me each and every day, boy, it makes it so much easier to pray about the situations that I'm going through. And it opens my eyes and it opens my spiritual heart, if you will, to the things that God is doing through sometimes the messes that we're in. God is there. But do you see Him there? David saw it afterwards. But in midst of, they're going to get me. I messed up here. And in the midst of all of that chaos, he felt overwhelmed because he got his eyes off the Lord. And it wasn't until he cried unto the Lord in 142 and in Psalm 57, and those, as he cries out to the Lord and he starts talking to the Lord, he realizes, oh, man, yeah, I messed up, but I also, man, God, you were there with me this the whole time. Man, how did I miss this? Hey, listen, all throughout our scriptures, we find people that happened to them. It's going to happen to David again. These aren't perfect people. But the great thing is we see the progression of David crying out to the Lord. To go from cave to praise. To go from being overwhelmed to praising. Boy, we need these types of messages from Scripture because of all the stuff that we go through every single day, that we are bombarded with every single day, every single week, through the news, through just work, through just everything in general that comes at us. Because we started off by saying what? The challenge of the Christian life is not learning how to avoid problems. It is how to what? Is that when trouble comes, we have to try and figure out our way to navigate through those things while keeping our eyes on the Lord. That's the challenge. So tonight, if you learn nothing else, when you're challenged with that, how do I keep my eyes on the Lord? I keep my eyes on the Lord by prayer. Through whatever it is that I'm going through, I'm asking the Lord to help me through those things, to keep my eyes on Him. So that way I can navigate my way through this life with my refuge, with the one who can show me the path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That I don't lean on my own understanding, but in all thy ways I acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. Because there are times, whether you're in something now or whether you're not, when those times come, we need to make sure that we're talking to the Lord. We can talk to each other all we want, but the most important person that we can talk to is the only one who can help us through and keep a proper perspective because of who He is. And then I can pray effectively because I see who God is and how real He is to me. And that opens up my prayer life as I go through the different situations in my life. David had problems. We've got problems. But let's pray to get to praise, right? Well, let's take some prayer requests tonight.